We're reading from Exodus chapter 3, and we continue in this wondrous, what occurred to me, must be referred to as an autobiography of Moses. For indeed, Moses being the one who God revealed by his Spirit those things, of those things which came to pass from the time of creation onwards, and indeed up to this time in which he was called of God. This period here, obviously, he was contemporary too. And so it is, in terms of his life, an autobiography. And how wonderful that Moses indeed is led to give us an autobiography, warts and all, as well. Not just the commendable things, but those things that tell of his failure, as of which we've read already in chapter 2, have we not? Yet nonetheless, this man who failed in the flesh was God's man. And this indeed is a mystery, that God should use fallible man to preach his word. That he should use fallible men and women to witness for him in this world, to live for him in this world as lights shining in the darkness. But yet God would have it that way. He would have it that way, that in our weakness, his grace is that much greater. And that it is not in our strength that we walk, but in his. That all the praise and all the glory goes unto him, you see. And now Moses, we see. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. But just go back to the last couple of verses of chapter 2. Now it happened, verse 23, now it happened in the process of time that the king of Egypt died. Then the children of Israel groaned because of the bondage, and they cried out, and their cry came up to God because of the bondage. In the time of God's purpose, he causes his people to not just groan, but to groan and cry up to him. To cry and to make their cry to God their Saviour. So God heard their groaning. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, which indeed was repeated. His covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob. And God looked upon the children of Israel, and God acknowledged them. That's what it means when we read in the Authorized Version, had respect. He acknowledged them. He accepted them. He accepted them. Oh, what a blessing to be accepted by God. Now we read, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Where has Moses been all this time? He's been faithfully tending the flock of Jethro. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. Today's message is entitled "The Man Prepared to Lead God's People." Not "The Man Prepared to Lead God's People." There are many who may have a willing heart and a good willing heart to do a work for God, but they may not be the one. And even if they are, they may not be, as we saw with Moses, prepared yet. But here we see the man prepared, equipped. Do we not see that that's what the Word of God tells us? Timothy is instructed that all Scripture is given of inspiration of God. God breathed that the man of God, suitable for equipping, indeed, that the man of God may be fully furnished unto every good work. Whatever it is that we do for God, we must be prepared by God. He must equip us to do it. And now, not just conveniently, as some would have it, not just conveniently, now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro. Well, we're looking for someone. Oh, well, let's Moses seems willing. Let's call Moses. And that seems to be the attitude indeed in many a church. They need the pulpit filling. Well, someone's willing. Let's have them. Let's do it. They're a good man. Let's have them do it. No, it wasn't just convenience here. This was divine appointment. Not just convenient. There was Moses about his work, faithfully about his work. You know, when God is looking for someone to serve him, or rather preparing someone to serve him, he makes them faithful in smaller things first. If you're not faithful in smaller things, how are you going to be faithful in larger matters? And yet, smaller though it was, this was a weighty occupation he was engaged in. There he was, attending to his duty faithfully, tending, shepherding, feeding, watering, protecting the flock of Jethro. Cometh the hour and cometh the man. God's time and God's man. Before Moses saw himself as the man sent to lead the people of God out of bondage in Egypt. But from his actions and from his irrational behaviour, his wicked behaviour, his unlearned behaviour, we see he was not ready. He was not ready. Not prepared for the task before him. But now in God's time, after many years, and much experience, he is ready to be raised up. God has readied him. And so firstly, see here, Moses had to learn humility. You may not see that immediately here, but he had to learn humility. We know from chapter 2, he knew nothing of humility. Nothing of humility. I'm Moses. I'm Moses. I'm the chosen one. And not only that, I'm prince in Egypt. And look what I've done. I've left the palace of Pharaoh and I've come. I've come to deliver you. Moses had to learn humility. And that started indeed when he was found out by his sin, did it not? Will you kill me as you killed that Egyptian and hid his body? And this he surely did. He surely did learn humility, great humility, in this employment he was about now. Think about this. Think about this man, who he was. Prince Moses. Prince Moses. One of the court of Egypt, the great superpower of its day. Perhaps the third most important man in the known world at the time. Giving orders. Used to giving orders. Used to being served. Used to having his every whim seen to. And now we see this one who was used to being served was serving another now. They weren't even his flock. They didn't even belong to him, these sheep. He's taken on a far more lowly state of a shepherd. And that's what it was, a low state. It truly was a lowly state, a shepherd in those days. Not only that, but as we have seen, under another. People want to push themselves forward to lead churches, and they want to rule churches. They want to be top dog. They want fame. They want to be known. Oh, God forbid that I be ever known. Oh, praise God for his anonymousness. They're known to few people, and they've been blessed, those few people. But they're anonymous on the whole. But yet God used them greatly. Yes, we see here, he is willing to be found under another now. We read, now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. This job of a shepherd was not a glamorous one at all. It's not a glamorous one at all. But quite despised. Despised and lowly. Coarse, the people would have thought shepherds to be in those days. You could hear the Pharisees. You could hear the Pharisees say, the angel of the Lord came and appeared and gave those glad tidings to coarse, base, filthy, smelly shepherds. Not us. The man of God must know humility first. But Moses was content not only, as we read in Exodus 2:21, content to dwell with the man, to dwell with Jethro, to take from Jethro his hospitality, which he did. He was content to know the blessing of being amongst like-minded. But not only that, he wasn't just content to take, but he was content to serve. But see, Moses, you see, particularly a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the great shepherd of the sheep, who was pleased to have his dwelling place with men, yes, but willingly coming in the form of a servant, not to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. And such humility from Moses would be continually needed in putting God's people first. A servant he would be to their care, even as he learns here with the flock of Jethro. They were dependent on him, this flock. It would later be said of Moses in Hebrews 3:5, it would be later said of Moses who learned humility, and Moses verily was faithful in all his house, meaning his household, the people of God, in all his house as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. A testimony, a type of Christ, pointing to the greatest servant. Moses was the prince. The Lord Jesus came, the servant king. King of kings and Lord of lords. And Moses was now ready, having learned humility, ready to be sent to God's people. And so too the man of God in the church today, in serving the church, emphasis in serving the church, is serving God. Secondly, Moses is committed to keep the flock of Jethro entrusted to his care. Commitment, he learns. What greater way to learn commitment to not leave your post? This is a contentious issue today. So many see the grass being greener on the other side, moving from one place to another. Somehow God has changed his mind that they're not to be shepherding the flock where they've been placed to be faithful, however small or great the number there be that meet there. Moses would learn and would be frustrated some years later and want to walk away as a man with the people that he was entrusted with to their care, to their spiritual care, to lead them as God would lead him. What greater way to learn commitment, this swear word that appears today to many people in life. In many aspects of life, people take on something and they drop it, just like that. Just like that, they just drop it. That's why you can't get people to serve within the church. Well, it's all right, we'll leave it to the preacher. We'll leave it to the preacher and his wife. That's Anglicanism. You want Anglicanism, go up the road. This is the church with many members, each playing their part. And the reason why you can't get people to serve in the church is because they know commitment's required. And where people do pick up things, they find a reason to drop it. It's a swear word to people. Moses had to learn commitment here. If he left his post at any time with this flock of Jethro, they would have been devoured by wolves. David learned that, did he not? He learned what it meant to wrestle bears and fight off wolves and lions. Moses has learned now where he knew nothing of it before. He has learned now how to pastor the people of God, giving them leadership. For as I said, what greater way than to be at the head of a flock of, what are sheep like? A flock of awkward. If ever there was an awkward animal, a flock of awkward, disobedient, foolish sheep, and prone to wandering. Oh, the wisdom of God. Moses kept the flock of Jethro. He pastured, it means. He tended. This word, kept, also has a meaning to teach. And especially as we apply it to the people of God being as a flock, Christ's flock, they must be taught. They must be taught. And what a training ground for the man of God, not only with Moses here, but for the man of God who is called of God, but the training ground in the intervening period for the man of God than that in the daily secular work he is engaged in. There is nothing better than that. That can't be replicated in a Bible college. In the safety of a Bible college. He may as well be in a monastery, shut off from the world. Endless education. That does not train up to do the work of God. In his secular work, where various skills and experiences are developed. I know this from experience. I didn't know where I would be called later on, but I tell you what, from the many experiences that I didn't understand at the time in the secular world, whether they be family matters, whether they be matters from when I was much younger, whether they be when I've been working, even at school, and you draw on those things and you see what God was teaching and how it's for the betterment of God's people. Dear Pastor Graham often said, as he spent a lot of his pastorate doing his secular job and in effect full-time pastoring the church as well, unpaid, he often said, I can sympathize with the stress and the strain of the individual, even such a simple matter, the individual coming back tired to come and join in the midweek meeting, who knows the stress and strain of the Northern Line, because I go up and down on it every day. How can you know that? How can you know that tucked away in a little ivory tower? Just one small matter. Before, as a mere well-educated man, of which God indeed raised him up from such a circumstance, there was a reason. Just as God raised up Saul of Tarsus, who indeed was above all his contemporaries in the learning of the law. Yes, God uses everything about his people. Just as this man, this well-educated man, Moses, in the past, though, had not a clue how to lead the people of God. But now, having been responsible to tend the flock of Jethro, he would be found faithful to the call of God in leading God's people. A much more important role. You cannot, in anything in life, you cannot run before you can walk. Behold the Lord Jesus. He leads his people perfectly. The psalmist says, as we just read earlier, the Lord's my shepherd. He shepherds me. He tends me. He keeps me. He leads me. I'll not want. He leads me beside the still waters. The will of God is that we grow in grace and in the knowledge of his Son. And the more we learn of our Lord Jesus Christ, the closer we are drawn to him, the more peace we know. The still waters. Also observe, the ones leading the church are to be committed to them. We touched on this already. To be committed to leading them. Not only leading, watching over them. Yes, can say, in the right sense of the word, jealously guarding over them. For their spiritual welfare. As the Apostle Paul says to the elders at Ephesus, what words as he knows he'll probably not see them again in Acts 20. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. See, that's the role of a pastor teacher. He is an overseer. He shepherds the flock, but as an under-shepherd. As Moses, indeed, shepherded the flock that belonged to Jethro, but loving that flock as if they were his own. Oh, that God would indeed teach me to learn that more and more. Over the which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, under shepherds, to feed the church of God, which he has, mystery of mysteries, purchased with his own blood. That's why you're to watch over them. They're precious. They're precious to God. Jethro's flock were precious to him. And Moses knew that. For I know this. People run around, jump up and down, saying they're prophets today. Mumbo jumbo. He was a prophet. One of the last prophets. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you. How did he know? The Lord Jesus told him. He was taught of the Lord Jesus. Not sparing the flock. Grievous wolves enter in among you. What does the Lord Jesus say about wolves? In the spiritual sense, in the church realm, they don't come in as the ravenous wolf. You'd see them a mile off. You'd scarper as quickly as you could, wouldn't you? You wouldn't allow them in. You wouldn't even allow them to get anywhere near the pulpit. But they come in sheep's clothing. Deceitful. With a much greater disguise, if I may use this term, a much greater disguise than the crazy, foolish disguise we see depicted in the children's story, Little Red Riding Hood. No, you can't tell sometimes. So deceitful they are. They actually look and sound and seem to be genuine. That's why these men were to be watchful. Entering in among you, not sparing the flock. Scattering, that's what it means. Scattering. And that's what false teaching does. It always destroys. Just look around if you don't believe me. Places where the gospel was loved and preached. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. He even warns them that there are people right now within their fellowship. There will be some who are found to be false. Thirdly, as a wise shepherd, knowing where the good pasture is, Moses has led the sheep through the wilderness to the backside of the desert, or the west of the desert, the other side of the wilderness. This same man who would soon be used of God to lead the people of God through the wilderness many years. 40 odd years. Just going around in the wilderness. Something that would seem foolish to most. In fact, those who did not believe, who perished in the desert, thought these things to be foolish. They believed not God. This same man who would lead the people of God those many years has been trained these years before, in advance, by feeding and grazing the flock of Jethro at the right time. And it is documented that even in those days, Bedouin tribesmen, shepherds, knew that at a certain time of year, at the summer, they must go to higher ground to find grazing, good grazing. And it's documented and taught that indeed this place by the mountain of God, even in this place, the other side of wilderness, all around, even fruit trees grow. Who would think? And these men, they would know the way and the right time to lead their flocks to this plentiful supply of water. What received wisdom Moses had from experience that travelling through the desert would bring the flock to be fed. He led, it says. He led. Where in Scripture, let alone here with Moses, do you read of a shepherd who turned to his flock all bleating at him, and asked them, what should he do? Find it. Find an example in normal everyday life of a shepherd who turns to his sheep and asks their advice where to go. Have you ever heard of it? He led. He led the sheep. And a pastor does not follow the flock, nor chase after them. The flock follow because they trust the shepherd. Pastor does not follow the flock, does not pander to its whims, its fancies, its desires, tends to its needs. Oh yes, tends to its needs. And indeed serves them. And protects them. And comforts them. But leads them. Leads on, directing the flock of God, the church, to where the spiritual food is. Always leading them to Christ, who is the rock. He is that rock that sprung from water, that sprung with water. He is that rock from which the people drank in the wilderness, would go on to drink of in the wilderness. He is that spiritual rock. The Apostle Peter was commanded by the Lord, feed my sheep. No doubt Jethro, when he was training up Moses, who knew nothing of being a shepherd, this was the number one task. This is your task. In all that you're doing here, is to tend and feed my flock, Moses. Feed my sheep. But to many it would seem the backside of the desert was the foolish way to lead. To lead through a wilderness. As indeed the simplicity of the preaching that we say it suffices to preach Christ and Him crucified is sufficient. Oh, but we've got to add on, but the Christ and this, Christ and that, Christ and works, Christ and law. Christ and Him crucified is to the wise who think themselves wise, foolishness. Not to them who have been saved. It's the wisdom of God. The true one shepherding God's people, the church of Christ, has been given to the church. Given to the church. Do you think Jethro would just hand over anyone? Just anyone? To his flock? Now don't get me wrong. Every man called of God to preach the gospel is equally a sinner saved by grace. And continues even as the Apostle Paul to say, in this life, in my flesh dwells no good thing. But yet they are God's instrument, God's gift. We're told that indeed God, Christ, gave gifts to men. Not gifts for us to roll around on our backs and make a noise of an animal. But profound gifts. Gifts which are to our good. Gifts that indeed establish us in the faith. They've been given as a gift to teach and to feed God's people. To feed God's people, the church of Christ, with the very good, nourishing word of God. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. verse 11. And he gave some to be apostles, some prophets. We're built upon the foundation. The apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus being the chief cornerstone. God has spoken in these last days by his Son. The age of prophecy is over. All things are fulfilled in Christ. The age of apostleship is over, because God's Christ witness has been recorded by his apostles as they were instructed. But some evangelists to go and proclaim the message, to go far and wide, evangelist, missionary, to go and to continually preach the word, establishing churches. Now, sometimes the work of an evangelist and pastor, that sometimes they dovetail, sometimes they overlap. But here we see, and some pastors and teachers, not some pastors and then some teachers, as some people foolishly interpret it. He is one and the same man. He pastors, he watches over, he guides, he leads, and he teaches as well. There's not a pastor who sits in his ivory tower, the overseeing the all things, then you get the assistant pastor who does this and does that. That's unbiblical. Won't find it in Scripture. It's not in there. So neither is the youth pastor, let alone the crazy, foolish, blasphemous street pastor. It doesn't exist. Gave some to be pastor and teacher. But what is the purpose of all of this? For the equipping of the saints, the called out ones, the people of God, the set apart people, the elect of God, those who have tasted the grace of God, those who belong to Christ, for the work of ministry, for the work of ministry, the work of service, that's what it means. Ministry means service. To serve God. When was the last time you asked the question in prayer or in conversation? What is the work that God would have me do? However small, as we would see it. There is no smallness in terms of our service to God. Whatever God gives us to do, we do it heartily. For the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the building up, for the mutual encouragement. Why do we meet? Why do we meet? What does Hebrews 4 tell us? That we may provoke one another up unto good works. How can you know mutual encouragement unless we meet together? And so indeed, the preaching of the word and the teaching of the word is to equip, but is also to encourage, and is also to build up, to strengthen. Till we all come to the unity of the faith, believing the same thing, hoping the same thing, trusting the same thing, speaking the same thing, and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to know Christ more. That's why. To a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should be no longer be children, immature believers, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men. Many of those sheep in Jethro's flock would have to be disciplined by the crook of the shepherd and pulled into line out of love for their care. By the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love. Not in soppiness, but in love though. In love. may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. You wonder why God does not add to his church? Are you doing your share? Are we walking as one? See another shepherd, though. See another shepherd, much greater than Moses, prefigured here. Even as Moses humbled himself over to the care and keeping of the flock, the Lord Jesus will feed you. You who know him. You who are the called according to his purpose. You who belong to his flock. He will feed you with good things. And you know indeed, if it is not the teaching of the Lord Jesus, if that which is taught is not to your good, to your spiritual good. I'm not talking about quick fix feeling. I'm talking about your good, your ultimate good, your growth in the faith. You know. Yes, he will feed his people. The Lord Jesus will feed you who belong to him. You will know true contentment as a sheep who is free from harm. That's the lesson, is it not? In Psalm 23, he makes me down to lay in pastures green. But not only that, it's beside still waters, peaceful waters, free from harm. He will keep his flock. Indeed, he says, fear not, I have overcome the world. He says, none shall pluck them from my hand. My sheep. He's speaking of his sheep in John 10. You will know true contentment. The Lord Jesus promised in Ezekiel the prophet and in 34 verse 15. I will feed my flock and I will cause them to lie down, saith the Lord God. I will cause them to be fed with good things, spiritual nourishment, and I will cause them to be content. Oh, what need of contentment in this world. You who know the Lord Jesus, you who follow the Master Shepherd, will lack no good thing in him. The way he leads may not be the way we choose. And most often it is not. But trust him nonetheless. Trust him that with him always, always, you will go in and out and find pasture. The people of God, called his elect, out of every nation, chosen in Christ Jesus before the foundation of the world, will all, without exception, will all be gathered up by Christ through the preaching of his gospel. We have his word on that. We have his word on that. The Holy Spirit leading each to the place of still waters, of peace with God. We have his word on that. He cannot lie. He will call them all, each one of his sheep for whom he laid down his life. He will call each one of them and they will hear his voice. He is no liar. He says in Jeremiah 23, but I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them. We know not where God's people are, but they are driven throughout the four winds. They are in every corner of the world. And God knows where they are. And he will draw them out as a shepherd goes and searches out his lost sheep. I will gather the remnant of my flock out of all countries where I have driven them and bring them back to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. And I will set up shepherds over them who will feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, nor shall they be lacking, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will raise to David a branch of righteousness. Here is the Lord Jesus. A king shall reign and prosper and execute judgment and righteousness in the earth. In his days, Judah shall be saved and Israel will dwell safely. Now this is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness. I lead you this morning, as is my privilege, duty, responsibility. I lead you to him. I direct you to him, to none other. I direct you to him who is life himself. Not only life itself, life himself. Now. Behold Christ on yonder. But behold Christ, the risen Christ. Behold the risen Christ. Who leads his people because he has overcome death and hell and sin and the grave itself. Behold him risen from the tomb, having gone through the wilderness. The wilderness, the worst wilderness possible, of bearing the sins of his people in his own body on the tree. He has gone through that wilderness. And now the resurrected Lord Jesus leads his people to life eternal. You who trust this Jesus, be about your daily tasks, whatever they are. Don't minimize them. Be about your daily tasks, faithful in small things, and ready for whatever God would call, instruct, and yes, entrust the great responsibility to do. Let us indeed look unto our Master Shepherd and seek his leading. And as we sung a little earlier, may this be on our lips in prayer. Master, speak, thy servant heareth.